you so much. My name is Pastor Gideon Nash. I'm so, so privileged to be standing here to be sharing the Word of God with you today. Hey, we really, really thank God. And in January, I started talking about the subject, reclaiming your inheritance and your purpose and destiny. And we look at Jesus' teaching on prayer in the book of Luke chapter 11. I thought it was going to be just a one Sunday preach, and it turned out to be 3 weeks, and we're still going on. We've had a little break, and we've had some fantastic times ahead on the internet, the testimonies that you guys were sharing, how God is doing wonderful things among you all. And if you're here for the first time, or you're visiting, or you've been here recently, I just want you to know the miracles happen here. Amen.
Amen.
Miracles happen here. Miracles are supernatural manifestations of God. Things beyond human understanding and senses. God intervening to change situations. It has happened here. Healing happened here. Salvation happened here. Deliverance happens here. Transformations happen here. And I want you to be aware of it. And I am so, so confident about what God will do today. Today I want to continue the story that we started in Luke chapter 11. And we're going to hone in on chapter 11, verse 20 to 23. I would like us to read it, and we will see where we go with it. The theme for today will be winning the military battle. Winning the military battle. Shall we have the projection very quickly so that we can read? Thank you. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus is saying that when a strong man guards his house, verse 21, when a strong man fully armed, the strong man is fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armory in which that man trusted. Because the strong man is strong because of the ammunition and the armory that he surrounded himself with. And divides up his spoils. So that strong man is holding up to some spoils. Spoils are things that you fight for, or you bully people for, or you take away. And Jesus Christ, in his teaching on prayer, wants us to get to the point that we will know how to take back what the enemy has taken from us. For some of you, your joy has been taken away. For some of you, your security has been taken away. Some of you, you walk in anxiety. Some of you, you're never happy. Some of you, you're always lacking. And these things, someone not seen with your human eyes is working behind the scene and has taken these things and held on to it. And because it's a strong man, he's fully armed. And for you to get it back, you got to make sure that you have to overpower him. But if a strong man is armed, you cannot just go and say, please give it to me. He doesn't want to give it to you. That's why he's armed. You understand that? And you have to get into his palace, he says, and take it back. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today, just ask yourself, what is it that the enemy has taken from you? Some of you is your money, right? Some of you is your children, right? Some of you is your husband, your wives. Some of you is your sanity. Some of you is your future. Some of you is your destiny. Some of you is something that you need to enjoy. It's not there anymore. And the enemy is holding them as spoils of war. And the way to get it is what Jesus Christ was teaching us. Hallelujah. So the disciples of Jesus Christ noticed that their master seemed to have a winning formula and could cope with all situations. They soon figured out where his strength was coming from. And they figured that his strength was coming from his communion with the Heavenly Father, or his prayer life. Are you with me so far? They figured out one out to their son. They said, now, they didn't come and say, teach us how to get saved. They didn't come and say, teach us how to heal the sick. They said, teach us how to pray. And Jesus indeed taught them how to pray. And for the sake of those who've joined our church recently, or those who probably are here for the first time, or who are not here most of the time, I just want to take you back a little bit without going into too much details, but it will be important that you get to know, so that when I come to talk about these things, they will not be strange things to you. Are you with me? And if you've been here, you've been taking notes all the time, I just want you to know that every time that I look at these things, I get fresh revelation, so there might be something in there for you. Jesus Christ taught them how to pray. And most often, our traditional churches or our churches only think about the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil, blah, 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 forever and ever. Amen. He taught a lot more. Hallelujah. He taught a lot more. And he taught what I call the three levels of prayer. That Jesus then taught them how to pray as recorded in Luke chapter 11. Jesus taught them what we are now learning here. From verse 1 to verse 23 of Luke chapter 11. The first level is prayer to build intimacy with your Father. That is what we normally call the Lord's Prayer. Because you teach to know God, you are taught to know God as Father. So, and when you communicate with the Father, you get closer. Isn't that right? So God is teaching you, Jesus Christ is teaching us to learn to pray so that we can build intimacy with him. In this church, in our discipleship pathway, one of the things that we are learning when it comes to introduction to leadership is that you have to build that relationship with God through intimacy, and that is prayer. And if you're in this church, you have to learn to pray at least 1 hour a day. Hallelujah. He taught them how to pray, build intimacy and relationship with God. So you get to know God as Father, and that level of prayer is to ask for your needs. See, I've known some people who always pray for other people. They don't have time for themselves. Why? You matter to God. And therefore, when you pray, pray for your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Are you with me? It's what you eat matters to God. What you wear matters to God. Where you sleep matters to God. Your job matters to God. Your sanity, your marriage, your children, your car, your possessions matters to God. So pray about them. Pray for your needs. Because you know God as a Father, so you go to him and you communicate at him at that level, praying for your needs. So when you come to yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, you are sealing it with the power and the glory and the influence of God, that nobody and nothing can take away that relationship from you, so that you are safe and you are covered as you walk out of your house. Hallelujah. So I say pray for yourself a lot. Jesus taught them. He didn't say, oh, this is three levels. But then as you read through, you see that he was actually teaching them that. And the next one is the prayer in the form of intercession. You see, this one, this level, after you come to know God as your Father and you build that relationship with him, that it is a normal thing for you, now you have a choice. So which of you has a friend who come to him at night and you have no bread to give that person, and you have a friend and go and knock at his door and say, open the door, give me bread for my friend who's come at midnight. And he say, oh, go away, I'm sleeping with my children. But I say, for the fact that he is your friend, he'll wake up and help you out. So, many people just at the level of give me, my needs. Fine, no problem. You still go to heaven, no problem. But he wants you to know sometimes there come a time that you have to pray for somebody because you have a child, you have a son, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have somebody in your way or somebody in your home who needs prayers. And you who knows God as a father and has built intimacy, you are the one who has to stand in the gap for that person. So this time you are asking from your friend, your heavenly friend, for your friend. And your friend can be my friend, David. Can be Tom. It can be Nate. It can be anybody here. Are you with me? Your spouse is your friend. Your daughter is your friend. And therefore, ask from your friend for your friend. Because you know God, your prayer is effective. Do you understand that? But if you don't know God, then you don't even know how to ask from God. And then the next thing you say, Elder Paul, can you pray for me? You see, then you go to pray for me, church. You see, but the poor may not have the same passion as you have because that thing is closer to you than him. So you are the one who need to intercede. So the prayer of intercession, that means you stand in the gap, you ask from your friend for a friend. And at this point, what happens is that the prayer here is about friendly petitions. You are not binding no devil here because there's no devil here. Your son is sick. You're not binding the devil. You are friendly petitioning your friend. So intercession is a friendly petition. So you move on and say, God, you know what? Because I know you as my friend, I am asking for bread for my friend. I'm asking for bread for my friend. I'm asking for the bread for my friend. And this is where it, sometimes it takes longer because God is teaching you to travail in prayer. You have to have a shameless audacity. That means you are determined, you are persistent, you are persevering, and you are pressing on until you have results. So Jesus Christ will end it and said, now, seek. And you find, seek me, something is lost somewhere. Somewhere, something that is yours is gone array, is in disarray, and you need to get it back. And if you are seeking something precious, you will persist until you find it, isn't it? If you lose a pound, probably you just, count your money and a pound falls, and some of you look for it, but probably many people will not. But supposing that maybe that is your lovely, wonderful ring that your husband has bought for you, or brooch that somebody has given you, or some present that somebody has given, then it fell to the ground. I bet you look for it, wouldn't you? And you persist until you find. So this is at the point that you have to knock. You have to knock. You have to knock. And as you knock, it's teaching you faith because there's an expectation that the door will be opened. Because when you knock, the door got to be opened. Hallelujah. So Jesus is teaching you faith. Now you have to rise to the level. Not only are you asking and trusting and hoping that it happens, but you are expecting a result because you know what you are looking for. Are you with me? You know what you are looking for. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So at this point, you have to persist and there should be an intentionality and perseverance on your part. Then he could have stopped there. But then if you read verse 14 of Luke 11, you see straight away he did something there. What I call a prayer in the form of warfare or spiritual warfare, where you see prayer as dealing with strongholds, unseen forces, persons without bodies and strong man. You see, Jesus Christ wants them to understand that prayer is not just the Our Father. Prayer is not just like, oh God, now I'm praying for my sister who is sick or my brother who is sick, which is also, these are all wonderful things. But then there's also something that we need to get our minds into. People of God, Christians, people who wear the badge as they follow Christ, you got to get to a point to understand spiritual warfare. I'm a Baptist. And when you go to Baptist website, they said they believe in spiritual warfare, but sometimes they don't even understand spiritual warfare. Not all of them. Some do, but of course we do. When you get to this prayer, when you see prayer as dealing with strongholds, unseen forces, persons without bodies, and strong men, then that means you are getting into what we call spiritual warfare. It is not an everyday thing that you have to begin and say, God, today I'm going to do spiritual warfare. It might not be necessary because you are not in any war. There are times that you may have to do that. And you cannot just jump from first level to third level, because you cannot jump from primary school to university. You've got to go through the ranks, right? So you have to learn. Each stage helps you out. So once you have found the place where, in this church, we call it there, find that place where two or three have met in my name, that I will be there with them. Find that place that you call there. God will be there, because that is your spot that you go and pray to God. Find that comfortable place. And there is also where you begin to make up your mind, and God creates a space in the atmosphere for you. And God comes. So you and God are going to have a tussle in that place. So if you don't have there, a place that you call there, then you are missing out to some extent. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's not me saying that. Jesus Christ taught this. These were his words, not me. But I need to communicate with you so that you can understand that. So, if you found that place and the space to pray and build that relationship with God the Father, you are now in a position to practice how to pray for longer periods to get results. Are you with me? That's Luke 11, verse 9 to 10. That is what he was saying. Longer period to get results. Once you decide to become an intercessor, you have to know that it takes longer to get answers to your prayers, but you have to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking to get a result. On one vital note, though, or two, that you need for prayer here is the Holy Spirit. Because you need to be in the same space as the Spirit of God, and open the heavens to release the answers to be manifested here on this earth. This is where being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is essential. Why am I saying this? If you look at Luke chapter 11, verse 13, when Jesus Christ talked about asking from a friend for a friend, you know how he ended? He said, how much more? He was talking about prayer, asking for bread for a friend. He said, how much more? Those who ask for the Holy Spirit. How do you read that? Hallelujah. So he's teaching his people that asking for the Holy Spirit to baptize is important. Some people are scared. I don't want to speak in tongues. But then you want to speak Yoruba. You want to speak some Patois. You want to speak some French. You want to speak some Spanish. So what about Holy Spirit language that you believe in? Hallelujah. You see, here we are not afraid. Remember, my father was a Methodist. My mom was a Presbyterian. And I'm an Anglican who became a Baptist. You see how confused I am? And whether you think I'm charismatic, Pentecostal, or whatever it is, I'm a Christian. But I'm teaching you scripture so that you understand that. The Apostle Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you. It's not so much about tongues, but it's about the Holy Spirit overshadowing you, empowering you, moving into the same space as the Spirit, so that you'll be able to work and break things in the atmosphere so that it will be manifested here on this earth. As it is in the heaven, so shall it be here on this earth. Are you with me? So if you say, don't want to speak in tongues, that's absolutely fine. But I'd rather you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that is the Spirit of power. Hallelujah. So when you are an intercessor, it will help you a great deal. I'm using the word English language carefully. It will help you a great deal if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in this church, anyone who will open himself or herself will have an opportunity for the Spirit to overshadow you. Even Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Elizabeth was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Manoah's wife was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And Samuel was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Anyone who stood to want to stand for God was overshadowed or anointed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So don't worry too much about tongues. You have to be taught properly so that you understand that. Here Jesus is emphasizing asking for the Holy Spirit to help you in prayer because it is good for you and not a half thing or an evil thing to pray in power. In Acts chapter 1, it says that verse 8, it said, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, he shall give you power. It said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Judea and all to the ends of this world, and this end of this earth. And for many years, I have thought, and most Christians like me have thought, that the witness is only going to talk to somebody to become a Christian. And even that, we were not doing it. But I realized that when the power comes upon you, what is so, so evident is that you do the things that Jesus Christ does. There's a passion in you, there's a desire in you, there's a love in you, there's a hunger in you that you want to tell everybody about Jesus so that they will come and accept him as their Lord and Savior, so that if they were to die today, they will go to heaven and be with the Lord. So for me, yeah, thank you. You can hear the message from that side as well. God bless you. So I just want you to understand that somehow along the line, you see, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you were to die today, you'd be with the Lord. You don't have to speak in tongues to be with the Lord. You don't have to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to be with the Lord. The fact that you're giving your life to Christ, you'll be with the Lord. That is the condition. And I believe that's so true. But something is important, that the witnessing is about leading people to Christ so that they give their life to Christ. But it also tells you that we should heal the sick. It's about healing. And I have seen miraculous healing in this church. Certainly in the last 6 months. And certainly the last 2 weeks that I've been away, I have seen instant healing at this very difficult situation that people were at the point that they had been in hospitals and they had no solution. But by our hands, God healed them instantly. 3 occasions within a week. That is incredible. But I just want to move on quickly and to say the witnessing is the witnessing in power, not only to heal, but also to cast out demons. You understand that? Because demons are persons without bodies. That disturbs people's spiritual atmosphere and spiritual dynamism, and it keeps them away from doing what they're supposed to do. Sometimes these things depresses you. Sometimes too, it keeps you, your heart away from God. You come to church every Sunday, but there's no spiritual energy in you. You are just a Christian by name, and you are coming and going, and no connection with God. You know what the Bible tells in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20? It said that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it's of power. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is about God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Thank you. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It's a matter of power. So you are able to bring relief to people. Because some people are oppressed. Some people's sickness is as a result of oppression. Not always, but sometimes they are. Sometimes a form of mental illness is not medical, but it is oppression, and they need to be set free from it. And I just want you to understand that. So lead people to Christ, make them disciples, heal the sick, cast out demons. That is the ministry of Jesus Christ. That is the witness that he was talking about. So you need the Holy Spirit in power to help you. So Jesus Christ was telling you, you come against these things, and you've got to be able to do something. And whenever we come against somebody who is demonized or demon oppressing them, you know what we do? We don't go and pray, our Father, rich, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You aren't going to cast no demons with that. You got to come with power and speak in power. And sometimes that you can apply the blood of Jesus, do whatever you like. In my example and our experience, at some point in one instance, we did everything that we could. The Spirit says, I ain't going nowhere. And I said, come on, Irene, let's speak in tongues. And when we started speaking in tongues, not even a minute, and the Spirit said, I'm going. And the person was relieved there and then, never to be bothered again. That was incredible. So if nothing at all, it taught me that you have many tools that you have to use. Use the right ones. Are you with me? Exactly. Because the enemy don't want you to hear the word of God. Some of you come to church on a Sunday to come and sleep, right? You can't sleep on your bed. So I just want you to understand that that is what happens. Persons without bodies, messing you about, funning you. There's no fun here, but you're sleeping. So, the Apostle Paul is stressing here that when you pray in the Spirit, you build upon your most holy faith. It is a faith-building thing. It makes you stronger. Jude 1:20. It makes you stronger when you pray in the Spirit. That is why Jesus Christ, teaching about prayer, he had to mention how much more the Holy Spirit. When you come to Luke chapter 18, because when he was teaching on prayer all along, they did not seem to get it. Okay, let me read that one. But dear brothers and friends, or dear friends, but build yourself up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Somebody explain to me. Pray in tongues. It's as simple as that. Pray in the Holy Spirit. It's a faith-building thing. It helps you to trust God more. And as I said, whenever I'm able to speak that way and I'm able to heal the sick, because one of those, three instances of, healing the sick, is that when we went, I said, come on, let's pray. And I said, let's pray in the Spirit for about 5 minutes. And then after that, in a very quiet, gentle way, I laid my hands on the person and I started rebuking what was behind that. And somebody who was at a point that could not do anything suddenly was instantly healed and could do everything on the space of a few minutes because we prayed and built our faith. You know what? It helps me to trust God more for me to know that, you know what, there is power in this. So I'm encouraging you. Remember, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm an Anglican, I'm a Baptist, and I'm teaching you these because Jesus was none of those denominations. He's Jesus, and we are Christ followers, aren't we? Yes. We're his disciples. So I like this man. Kigambo, he's one of the masters. And I'm thinking, the guy is in an Anglican church, and he's talking about tongues. I'm thinking, what's wrong with him? He knows that. So you sit in the Baptist church, why don't you know this? So I have to teach you. Now, let me move on. I'll finish this message next week, so I've just taken liberties to bring you up to scratch. So Jesus taught about these three levels of prayer. Intimacy, building relationship, intercession, asking from a friend for a friend, and then warfare. That means dealing with spiritual matters or spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare, we sometimes blank them into one box. It's not. You can have them in three dimensions. The finger of God is the front entry one where you cast out demons. If you look at verse 14 of Luke chapter 11, it said immediately after he's talked about how much more the Holy Spirit, then he went to heal someone who was possessed and cast out, for the spirit was mute. You see, what happened? Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man had been who had been mute, and the crowd was amazed. The crowd was amazed. So, why did he do that? Because he said, I'm getting to another level, that this level, if I begin to teach you in a theological way, in a parable way, you will not get it. So it is a demonstration of power. Then you understand that these are spiritual things. You understand that? So that is why in this church, this time, our faith is not theory, it's a reality. Because I've got so much theory, and I can stand many people on theological argument on any subject. Because I know about apologetics. And therefore, I'll be able to stand up to anybody on that. But that will not win no battle. What will win battle is demonstrating the power of God. Because Paul the Apostle told us, 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5, is that no, my preaching and my gospel is not with the wisdom of men and with words of, everybody's understanding, but it is by the demonstration of God's power so that your faith will be based on God's power. I want to demonstrate the Holy Spirit's power so that your faith will be based on God's power. So your faith is based on God's power. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's a demonstrable thing. It's not a theory talking about spiritual warfare. So the first entry point is what he called the finger of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to clothe you with power and authority to drive out demons, to bring relief to people. That's what he talked about in Luke chapter 4, 11, verse 14 and 20. and then winning the legal battle I preached about 3 weeks ago. Here is where you prosecute your case before the judge. These cases would not be won but with prayer and fasting. So Jesus Christ was introducing another equation into our prayer life. That you have to, if you want to pray and be a Christian who is victorious and to deal with spiritual warfare, which are instances that doesn't come on a daily basis, but it could be there sometimes, it could be there for a long time, and unless you get rid of it, it's going to mess you up. Then you have to actually know that these kinds cannot be dealt with except with prayer and fasting. You see, as I was reading, Luke chapter 11, the prayer, and I'm thinking Jesus was in the same vicinity. He hadn't gone anywhere. He was in the same Galilee area, probably the same town and villages, teaching them these kind of prayers, and they did not seem to get it. The Pharisees always come and ask some silly questions and come and want to test him because they were full of knowledge, the spirit of Greece, so that all that they had to do, we figure, oh, we can't see this, oh, we can't believe it, oh, because there's, when you have a headache, you have to go for paracetamol, and if there's no paracetamol, it ain't going to work. But then sometimes you take the paracetamol and you still have your headache. So what do you do? And there are many instances the doctor says, there's nothing we can do. That is when you have to move into your sixth sense. That's when you have God and you know how to do warfare. It is so, so sweet. You are able to take authority of the situation and change the atmosphere. You shift the atmosphere. You shift the boundaries. And you are going to be the boss. You see, when you get to that level, you feel so confident. I mean, some of you have known me. Probably you always thought I was a timid guy because I was a very gentleman. I was never timid. Just I was gentleman. Sometimes when people mess about with me, I just let them go. I said, it doesn't matter. And I still say it doesn't matter, but I deal with you spiritually. It puts so much confidence in you because your confidence is in the Lord, it's not in the man. Because you know that you've been endowed with power. Because you know the Holy Spirit has overshadowed you. Because you know that you can get into the same level and the same space as the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 26 to 27, it says that sometimes we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself will pray through us. And the Spirit, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that words cannot express. Verse 27, and he who searches our hearts know the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. How do you read this? This is powerful. Sometimes you run out of words. You see, that's why when I say pray for an hour, people think, oh, whoa, pray for an hour, that's a long, long time. You see, people who are praying for an hour, not that they want to pray for an hour, as they come to our discipleship pathway, we are empowering them, and that each person, by the time that you get to finish House of Peace, you are in so much power and anointing that praying for an hour is even too short for you. That's absolutely true. They walk with anointing, unassuming. You look at them and you're thinking, let them pray for you. They can kill you. The reality is that they are endowed with power unassuming, and they walk upon the face of this earth. And this day you see that we have so many young people, young men and women here praying for people in the church because they are full of power and anointing. Believe God and believe he's anointed. And when they lay hands on you, they can heal you. And they are doing that. Sometimes when we come to Watchman's Night and people are in trouble or they are sick or something, I don't pray for them. I say, gather around them and do that. In some of these classes, I just don't do anything. I say, you gather around and pray for them. Pray for the people. Pray for people. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't pray for them. They pray for them so they can see that they can do it too. That they have the power of God in their hands. And they are doing it. These are evident. These are realities. This is what is happening in this church. My brother, my sister. He hasn't made us any weirdos, has it? I'm so, I guess, a gentleman. And I'm equally as handsome as Declan. Well, almost. So here I am. It doesn't make you different. It doesn't make you a weirdo. You are the same person, but this time you are walking in power. And that no situation can beat you because you have authority to deal with that situation. So if you want to sit at home and say, discipleship pathway, it's going to make us strangers. Oh, well, we are isolating some people from the church. Nobody's been isolated. We are asking you all to come on it because it will equip you. Every church has a vision. Every church has a pathway, because without vision, the people perish. Even your jobs, they have vision. Even McDonald's have a vision. So here, you get to that point that you have to win legal battles, and it is with prayer and fasting. Legal battles is somebody is actually having an injustice against you. That is, somebody is doing something against you which is not right. So when the people did not get it, Jesus Christ had to tell them a parable in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. He said, imagine a judge, he was a wicked one. He doesn't even care much about God. But then a widow, vulnerable person, nobody thinking about that person, comes to him and said, give me justice. For a moment or for a time, he will not listen. But because of the person's persistency, he said, if I don't give her what she wants, she'll wear me out. And said, I will give it to her. And verse 8 of Luke 18 said, and so will be anyone who asks of the Holy Spirit. Again. So somehow along the line, at this point, the tools that you need is prayer and fasting, but also you need the Holy Spirit. You need to begin to speak in tongues in this type of warfare, because somebody is putting you in prison, and unless you have a good lawyer who will come and prosecute against the person, otherwise you will be there. Injustice is being done against you. Somehow along there's some sicknesses upon you. That is injustice that has come upon you. That it's incurable. You are going through it. Sometimes it's your marriage. It's incurable. You are going through. Sometimes your children. It's incurable. You are going through. Sometimes your education. Incurable. You are going through. Sometimes it's your money. Incurable. You are going through. Somehow it is injustice, because the Bible tells us in 3 John 2 that God wishes that it will be well with you in all things, even as your health. So God wants you to be well, even in your health and in all things. So if it is not working for you in all things, then somebody you cannot see has got your number and holding it to something. It's an injustice for you to go through that suffering that you're going through. It's an injustice to go through the pain you're going through. It's an injustice to go through the stress that you're going through. So bring it before God and say, God, somebody is messing up my justice, and I want justice from you. I want justice from my judge. God, I bring that person before you. I bring that enemy before you. I bring that Satan before you, and I said, God, give me justice. That is what we call the legal battle. So when Jesus Christ taught them this, they said, we get it, that we have to win some legal battles here, but that one you have to do it with fasting and prayer. And when you get there, if you speak in tongues, it's of a great advantage, because you have to sometimes move and lose the enemy. I said, your father is a good judge, and he will give you justice speedily. Did you hear that? He give you justice speedily. So I'm trying to make you bold. I'm trying to make you go beyond yourself. I'm trying to tell you that you cannot sit down and argue and live in fear. The reason why you are arguing, because you are afraid. The reason why you are arguing, because you are lazy. The reason why you are arguing, because you are disobedient. You don't want to do what God wants you to do. That is why you are sitting where you are sitting. I have no problem. I don't miss my words on these things. This is reality. I've been a pastor here for a long, long time, and I've met so many people, and I've seen battles in this church, and I've seen battles out there, and I can tell you that what I'm telling you, it is my reality and my experience. And I just want you to understand that God has moved me in another direction and give me fresh revelation, and I'm helping you to understand that. And a lot of pastors these days come to me, Baptists, Anglican, wherever they come, they come, and say, teachers, I'm thinking, hey, you're a bishop. I'm a pastor teaching you. Yeah. Because they see that God has opened a door for us. And I'm not the first. Many, many people, I'm still learning. But I want to open my heart. My heart is open. Nothing is hidden. Do you understand that? So I'm challenging you this morning. You'll be thinking, when is he going to go on the topic that he said he's going to preach on? Yes, I am here. So here, the bulk of your prayers is not directed towards a demon or a principality, but to the judge. You bring your case before the great judge to obtain justice. You're crying, you're weeping, you are relentless, you are not going to give in, because it is injustice where you are. You don't like it, so why stay with it? You have to do something about it, and something that you have to do about it is pray, 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 fast, fast, pray, pray in the Holy Spirit. Spend that time, spend that time. Don't wait until you are in trouble. When you are in trouble, you've left it too late, and it becomes too difficult. Begin to take control. You need to be in the driving seat. We are in a country that we solve problems. And better still, we anticipate problems. And we solve them before they even come up. Do you know that? The reason why this country is developed is that we begin to think further than here. Some nations, they only think about today, what they will eat and the cars they will drive, and that's it. But some nations are thinking, you know what, that road, I need to beef it up, because in 3 years' time there's going to be potholes on it. It will not be good for your shock absorbers. So they anticipate. So you have to anticipate. God has put you here for a reason. So don't stay behind. Are you with me? Yes. Be smart, guys. Jesus Christ was a smart guy, so he was teaching the people to be smart. But those who hold on to knowledge sometimes want to cripple you, so you don't go anywhere. Now, the dimension of the warfare is winning the spiritual battle. I'm only mentioning it because next week we are going to, finish it off. You see, this is where you are entering into the camp, palace, or territory of the strong man to disarm and take his spoil, which belongs to you in the first place. The enemy has taken something from you, so this time you are going to his camp. Because it is not sitting there out there for you to just come and get it back. You have to go to the camp of the enemy. And that one is not easy. Remember what we read earlier? He is already armed. Yes? He's already armed. And it's an enemy which is unseen. So if you are going to a camp of an enemy you don't see, you don't even know if they're coming from the left or right or center, isn't it? So you've got to be ready for it. But it's a winnable battle. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that you can win those battles, because Jesus knew that we can win. That is why he told them, this is the battle that you have to deal with it. He said, when a strong man fully armed, guard his own house and his own possession are saved. But when someone strong attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his spoil. And he said, come alongside me, be with me, gather with me. So he was encouraging the believers that gather with me, come alongside. Don't sit on the fence. Don't think that, oh, this is a strange thing. You know how many times people say, this is a strange, teaching that we are getting from Jesus. Do you hear that? How many times haven't we read that? Read that Mark chapter 1. You read it for yourself. He said, this is a strange teaching. We've never heard people, our teachers don't teach like this. To the extent that when you read John chapter 3, verse 1, Nicodemus, who was the teacher of the law, he was the vice chancellor of the University of the Jews. So who knows theology more than him? He came to Jesus Christ, and he didn't want nobody to know that he didn't know. So he came at night and said, Master, no one, hear this, no one that does the work. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Look at what he was saying. He didn't say, because you have theology about baptism, theology about Holy Spirit, theology about speaking in tongues, theology about whatever salvation. But he says, no one does these miraculous signs that you are doing unless God is with him. So they identify Jesus Christ by the miracles that he does. Isn't that true? He identified that. So at this point, you need to be at a point that you are ready to take the spoils. That means you want to do supernatural things. Some of you don't like the word supernatural. I love it. That means it's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's another way to put it. But people have become so used to Holy Spirit that become a cliche. When you say you're supernatural, then they begin to sit up. I'm thinking, oh God, that is something more than just what we say. So you have to get into the point of operating in the supernatural spirit. So remember, you are dealing with strong man, something bigger than you can imagine with your own mind or senses. Because the strong man has something of yours as spouse and he is guarding them in his palace, the issue will not shift by doing nothing or praying for 2 minutes. You need an army. Write it down. You need an army. Because the military battle draws its strength in numbers. So when you get to warfare, where you say win the military battle, you draw your strength in numbers. You see, the legal battle, say, well, one person or two or three are getting my name, I'm with them. But when it comes to the military battle, you have to draw your strength in numbers. And it involves a larger number of people, not just one or two. Usually, it is directed by generals of intercession who are prepared to move in said levels, who are prepared to go to the enemy's camp, people who have themselves are warriors, and they are fearless and have won battles and spiritual battles to stand with you to change the atmosphere and shift the cloud that hangs over you and in situation. So you approach that situation. Probably you are not you are not strong enough. You need someone who has won battles to stand with you, so that you will not be a passerby. Because if I'm on the battlefield and we are fighting someone who is unseen, who is armed, you can't be a passerby because you will be a casualty. Do you understand that? You will be a casualty. So you need to know how to pray yourself. Maybe not to that level, but you need a warrior to be with you. Some of you, I know you are warriors in this church, and I want many of you to be warriors. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to be. People who have won battles, spiritual battles. If you look at my WhatsApp profile, I said exceptional people are people who praise. And I'm one of them. You know when I put that statement down? 3 years ago, when I knew God was moving me another level of prayer. That is what the prophets were. They were exceptional people. Elijah was a man like you, but he prays. That statement was made in the New Testament. He prays, and his prayer life changed things. So far, so good? I hope you are not scared, are you? Good. I would love to hear that. Yes. You haven't increased my time, have you? You increased it just now? On this one? Oh. Okay, I'll have to finish. Because I thought I had 4 minutes, and suddenly it's become 8 minutes. It's not a miracle. Somebody did it. I'm thinking, gosh, is that an angel who did that? So these generals of intercession or warriors, you know why? They have authority that have been acquired as a result of winning spiritual battles. So people who have won spiritual battles, they are ready to stand with you. So when you go and ask them, please pray, not for me, but with me. Because they've won battles, they know what to do. And I remember in this trip, somebody came and said, pray for me to speak in tongues. And as we started, I said, no, I can't do that. I have to teach you a little bit to understand where we are. Yes, we're ready. So as I started praying, then I realized certain things need to be done. So as we were praying, certain things were just going out. We're going out. The person was being delivered, being released from that and that and that. And the Holy Spirit eventually came upon that person. The person received instant healing as well from a disease that the doctor said the situation has been worse. And since that prayer, one day when the situation has become so good, in a matter of a week, same doctor. So each time we said, when we pray for you for healing, go to the doctor, let them verify it medically. Because sometimes it's easy for people to say, I pray for you for healing. And in your mind, you think you're healed and you go and you're dead and you die. And you think, oh, what happened? So go to the hospital, let them medically verify the healing. Yeah, we do it in the spiritual, but let them verify it in the physical or the medical. And when they say it is done, then we know. It is done. You give glory to God. Jesus Christ did that many times. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Because the priests were the educated people. You wouldn't know that Oxford University was founded by priests, is it? A fact. It was a school established for priests for excellence in medicine, in whatever you can think about, in pharmacy and all other things. Same as the sister college. When the school grew so big and the town was encroaching upon it, they said, okay, we don't like to be in the middle of a town. Let's go to Cambridgeshire. We'll find a better place to have another school. Same school. It was for Catholic priests. So Jesus Christ said, go and show yourself to the priest, because he wants you to actually prove that what he has done is actually true, so that he can give glory to God. Shall we stand? I'll finish this message next week. And we'll talk about who the strong man is. And we'll talk about binding and losing. And we will talk about how to destroy the strong man and how to take the spoils. And we will activate you. For now, we're going to pray to God. You've heard me talk for a little while. And we are going to pray. And we are going to pray. And we want you to pray for yourself. Pray and ask God, God, give me that willingness to commit myself to prayer and fasting as a lifestyle. Are you following me so far? You are going to pray and ask God for the willingness to commit yourself to pray and fast as a lifestyle. That means you fast at least one day a week as a routine to see God's face. You're going to pray for at least an hour each day as a normal thing. And then secondly, we are going to pray that God teach us how to engage in spiritual warfare. And I'll help you to pray. So I want us to God to hear our voice. Hallelujah, Lord. Let God hear your voice right now. Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Now you want God to put in your heart a commitment and willingness that you are going to pray and fast as a lifestyle. Don't do it for me. You're going to do it for yourself. You're going to do it for your family, because at some levels, you need to be doing that. Because otherwise, you can never rebuke a headache. Some people, you can see a cycle of sicknesses every time you are sick. I know the enemy is very smart. He knows Sunday you want to come to church to see God's face. So every Sunday, some people get sick. And you think it's nothing. Begin to pray. In your family, there might be a particular disease and illness that it was in your auntie, it was in your uncle, it was in your son, your daughter, it's in your husband, and it's trickling down. And we cannot break this trend through. But Jesus says, some of these kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Some of you too, you are in trouble. The enemy wants to put you in prison. That is injustice. And the whole system is working against you or planning against you. Keep on making some noise and play something. I just want you to understand that when you are in a situation like this, it is not a time for you to say that our Father who art in heavens, this is the time for you to begin to pray and fast and have the victory. You must have the victory in Jesus' name, and you are going to have it. Hallelujah, Lord. Karabashande rebe borobo shakante yanda. Guys, sing something. Karababashende rebe borobo shakante rebe rebe. Borobo shakante raba borobo shakante raba 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 shakante.
Opening.
Yeah, there's a sound of heaven opening right now for you.
The
have the mic.
Of heaven, opening, I can hear.
Yes, I want you to keep on praying right now. No situation should defeat you. Don't allow the enemy to take your spurs away. He has taken enough of your money. He has taken enough of your peace. He has taken enough of your liberty. He has taken enough of your sickness, of your health. You want it back. You want it back. You want it back. But you need to approach him with prayer and fasting. Yes, Lord. The heavens are opening right now. Keep on praying. Shandere bo shakara bo sakataya. Hebrew shekendere bebro bo shandere. Jesus, hallelujah. Laba shandere bebro bo sakotoya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The heavens violently parting.
The
Holy Spirit,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Filling his people with power.
Hallelujah.
Thunderous echoes resounding. The heavens violently parting. His Holy Spirit descending. Filling his people with power.
Now, if you're there and there's an issue that you want God to break through for you, I want you to run right here and we're going to pray over you. If there's an issue you want God to break through for you, I want you to run here. Hallelujah. There's some issue that cannot be broken, but we want God to break through for you. We want God to change the situation. We want God to shift the boundaries for you in the name of Jesus. That situation has lingered too long. It has lingered too long. Hallelujah. Kerabo shekendere babo shakadaya. Herabo sikendere babo shakada. Who is coming? I'm going to pray for you right now. Yes. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. There's something going wrong somewhere in your home, somewhere in your business, somewhere with your health, somewhere with a legal situation. We need God to set you free in the name of Jesus. Get a bit closer. Get a bit closer to each other. Now shall I have the people in House of Peace? House of Peace delegate, come out and pray for them. House of Peace delegate, come out and pray for them. Pastors, come and pray for them. Pray for them. Release power. Release power and heal them right now. Heal them right now. Don't go and have no conversation. Heal them right now. Set them free. Shanderebe bo shakara bo dosotoya. Yes, set them free. Set them free. Set them free. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hikarabo shekenderebe boya. God is going to break through for you right now, right now, right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God is going to release you. God is going to release you. God is going to give you the freedom. God is going to give you the freedom. God is going to heal you. God is going to heal you in the name of Jesus. God is going to heal the situation that you have brought here tonight. God is going to heal it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Herabo shekendere babo sokotoya. Hebro shandere bebolobo shande. Herabo shande. God grant you your heart desire. The prayer that you come here for before God. I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for a turning around. I pray that you have that phone call in your ears saying, Dad, I'm ready. Dad, I'm ready. In Jesus' name. 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 In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I'm praying. Ke rabo shekendere babosaya.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. What you come here to stand for, I pray that God will bring healing into the situation. Total healing into the situation right now. Break that situation down. Break that situation down. In Jesus' name. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bring healing to your body. 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 Right now, right now. Receive healing in your body. 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 By the anointing over you right now. Receive healing. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I pray for victory for you. Justice 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 for you. God will confuse the counsel of your enemies. God will confuse the counsel of your enemies. God will confuse the counsel of your enemies. You are going to come out victorious. You are going to come out victorious. You are going to come out victorious. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Victory is your portion. Victory is your portion. The enemy will not keep your spoils anymore. In Jesus' name. Oh, Rabo Shanderebe Brobo Shakata. Ibro Shenderebe Brobo Shakata. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hikarabo Shakande Erebende. Ebro Shakande Erebende Shikata. Erabo Sekende Erebende Olobondo Olobondo. Yandereba Brobo Shakata. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, you are God who heals. You are God who turns situations around. Right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus. 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 Father, every need that has been brought here, I pray that it will be met. In Jesus' name. I pray that they will receive what they have come for. They will receive the healing. They will receive the victories. They will receive, Father God, the breakthroughs that they need right now. In Jesus' name. 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 Oh, Rabo Shakanderebe Bo Shaka. Father God, I thank you for your church. I thank you for your church, oh God, that your church will be ready today, Father God, to stand and see your salvation come upon them this week. Father, I pray for miracles. I pray for signs. I pray for wonders. I pray for Jesus to be released to you up close and personal. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Kiara Baba Shani. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Receive from God right now. Receive from God right now. Receive from God right now. The fullness of your desires, the fullness of your prayers. Receive from God right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Kiara Baba Shande. Ebro Shekento Orobondo Osekente. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've been prayed for, you can go and take your seat. We'll soon be taking our offering in Jesus' name. karabashendere beboroboskantaya elabashandara mamanda. I thank you, Jesus. Father God, I thank you. Father God, for even this hour, I thank you that the heavens are opened and your people are receiving answers to their prayers. People are receiving healing in their bodies. People are receiving restoration of their homes and their lives right now. God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. And Father God, we thank you. Father, we thank you for what you have done in the lives of your people. I thank you for what you have given us. Father, we pray that what you give in our hands, Father God, we want to offer it to you as a sacrifice. Father God, we thank you. Father, we bless you. We glorify your holy name for the job that you've given us. We thank you, Father God, for the businesses that you've given us. Father God, we thank you for the pensions that we draw on. Father God, we thank you for the social that you've given to us, the pocket monies. We want to give it your due. And Father God, we pray that every penny that we give to you, oh God, Father God, bless it. Press it down, overflowing measure. Give it back to us in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Now we're going to take our offering right now. Hallelujah, Lord. The ushers will come up with your offering basket. Our bank account numbers will be on the dim the lights a little bit for us so we can see the screens. Avoid number 4, please. Thank you. And we thank God for those who give to this church by standing order. Our bank details are over there. Those of you who are internet savvy, you can give your offering, you can give a gift, you can give your first fruit, you can give your tithe direct to the bank. And if not, there's offering envelopes coming around. If you're a UK taxpayer paying at least basic rate of income tax, I would like you to complete that if you want to do it by gift aid, and we'll get 25% of every pound that you give as an extra money from the government to support us as a charity and our work at no extra cost to you. So please use the gift aid envelopes. Otherwise, please put your money in the basket. And if you use the gift aid envelope, please make sure that your details are there, because the revenue department will require that. Father, we thank you for this. Shall we stand and then